Elaine, your moment is here.
Yay, everybody give Elaine a fantastic round of applause. Yeah, my man's ahead of you. This is the most lovely lady. She really, really is. Chris, calm yourself, Chris. Please, this is church on Sunday. What are they doing? How many men does it take to sort this out, huh? Thank you, Chris. This is the greatest, greatest pleasure to have Elaine here today. She is one of my closest friends, and we've been friends for a long time. We can't exactly even remember how we met, but we know it's been a really long time. And she has been a very, very faithful friend to me over many, many years. And this is an absolute joy. Elaine, as I've prayed for Elaine during the week, what has come to me constantly is that she has rich, rich treasures of God in her, which are going to come out as she talks. And it's like buckets of water. We prayed in the prayer meeting about there being a well, and the well might not look impressive on the outside, but actually it does. I had hastened to add before Chris lynches me, but it's not important what the well's like, it's what's inside it. And Elaine, inside her, has rivers of living water to quench our thirst this morning. So Jesus, thank you for this lady. Father, I want to pray now that you will just put a deep peace within Elaine and a huge sense of enjoyment as she shares the things that you've put on her heart, as she reaches down into the well and brings out the rivers of living water that you have placed in there. Father, I pray for each one of us that we have open hearts to hear the words that you have. Just one touch from you changes everything. And we want to receive that this morning. Jesus, we just welcome you. And we welcome Elaine in your name. Amen. Go for it, girl.
Good morning. This is really lovely. And I have felt so blessed already by what the band and everything was brought to us in the worship. God really blessed me. God spoke to me through what Scott said this morning, right at the very beginning. So I feel that I've received something already, so thank you, Scott, for what you brought right at the beginning. It was just great. Tim phoned me a couple of weeks ago and said, would you be prepared to talk on a Sunday morning? And I said, well, okay. And he said, right, I've got something I want you to share. I want you to talk to people about sharing God with your family. So I thought, okay, that's fine. So when I've said the word family to you, I know that for as many people in the room as there are this morning, your heads, your minds have gone in as many different directions, because your expression and your, can I just change this? This is getting in my way. I want a bit more freedom. Everybody's expression and experience of family is different. And that's just the way God created us. And what I want to talk about this morning is both my physical and my spiritual family. And so no matter where your mind went a few minutes ago when I said the word family, whether that was a good place or a not so good place, I want to encourage you that you can be part of God's family, which is amazing. We're in God's family this morning. And we can all pick up, no matter how young in the faith we are or how long we've walked with the Lord, we can be brothers and sisters, we can be parents, we can be children. So this morning, there is no reason to feel excluded in any shape or form. Family for me, what does it look like? Well, I've got a grandma who's going to be 100 on the 1st of July. And she is an amazing lady. She is just great. And I love her to bits. I've got this amazing man here who sits on the second row, who's my husband, who God gave him to me as a special gift. And we've been married 25 years, and he's just wonderful. Chris. He's modest with it, too. For those of you who don't know, I have two lovely boys who I am so proud of. That's Dave and Matt. Dave is in Albania with his lovely wife, Chloe, and Matt is at the moment in the skies somewhere going off to Lebanon. He came a couple of weeks and shared about what he was going to be doing there, so some of you may well have seen him then. I've got a mum and dad called Marge and Joe. They live on the Wirral and they are lovely Christian parents. And I've got two brothers as well who both love the Lord. Ian, who lives up in Scotland and has been a Baptist minister for many, many years. And my brother Jonathan, who also leads Pioneer Church on the Wirral. So that's what my family looks like. Yours will look very different. But we do have one thing in common. We have a spiritual family. And that's you lot, all here. And that is just incredible. And this morning, I want to look at the fact of how to share God with your family. So it could be your physical family, but it could quite easily be your spiritual family too. So to do that and to help me through this morning, I wanted to take the letters of the word family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, as pointers and things that we can just use as points to work from as I sort of talk to you this morning. So family is F. The letter F is the word family. And so that was a little bit about my family. But where did family come from? Well, God wanted family. God created family. He lives in family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when he created us, it's because he wanted us to be part of his family. He wanted to share in what he experiences in the Trinity, and that is relationship. Relationship with him, it's such a special thing to him. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, something amazing happens. God becomes our Father. That's cool. God becomes your Father when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And what's more, we then become his children. We have something of relationship with Father. We can be his child. I am Daddy's child, and that is an amazing thing to get hold of this morning. And then, the more of us do that, we all become brothers and sisters, because we all become part of this family. And I have had a fresh revelation, really, as I've been preparing this morning, about what it is to be part of this spiritual family. I've heard, like you have, Kristen and Judith saying, we just love church. We just think church is the best thing since sliced bread and we are committed to church and all the rest of it. Well, I would go along with that because I've been brought up in a Christian family since the year dot and I don't have a problem with church. I like church. I grew up going to church, guess what? 5 times a day on a Sunday. That was my norm as I was a child. I went to morning worship. This is off-piste, by the way. I went to morning worship, which is at 10:30. Then I went to Sunday school at 12:30. Then I went home and had my dinner. And then I went off to Crusader class at 3 o'clock. Then I went home and had my tea. And then I went to evening service at 6:30. And then we had our youth meeting at 8 o'clock. So that was a normal Sunday for me as I was growing up from being a little girl to when I left. And Scott's nodding, he probably had a similar experience. But you know what? I am so grateful to God because I learned what it was to be in family, with my natural family, but also with my spiritual family. And so I don't have a problem with church, but I've had a fresh revelation about being together here as family. It is just such a precious gift that the Father has given us when we become Christians. Every person was created by God, but not everybody is a child of God. We need to be born again. We need to come to that place where we say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be Lord. The invitation to be part of God's family is universal, but there is one condition, faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How amazing. Two families. When I was born into the Birch family, because that was my maiden name, I became a Birch. I took on the family name, till I was married, of course. And when we become a child of God, we take on the family name. We become Christian. We become child of God. That becomes our identity. It is new. When I was born physically, I had my parents' DNA. My dad could take a blood test and prove that he was my dad. And the same thing happens when we become a Christian. We receive the family DNA. You know, when we were born and we have sinned, that sin separates us from God. And that relationship with God is broken. But when we say to Jesus, I want you in my life, that relationship is restored. The Spirit of God comes and fills us and makes us those new creations in Christ. And we have the Spirit's, the family DNA flowing through the very fibre of our being. I get family intimate access. I can ring my parents day or night, whether they're away on holiday, whether they're sick. It doesn't matter when I need to contact my parents. They will be at the other end of the phone. They would come and they would drop everything for me because they love me. I've known that since I was a little girl. But you know what? When we become a child of God, when we enter into the spiritual family of God, the same is true of our Heavenly Father. We get immediate and 24/7 access to our new Father. When Jesus died, the temple that was there in Jerusalem at the time had a big, heavy curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, where God lived symbolically, to where the people were. And when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two. It was rent right down the middle. And what God was saying is that, guys, I want you to come straight in. I want you to have 24/7 access to me. Come on in. We want to party together. We want to fellowship together. I want you to come and sit on my knee. I want to give you that intimate access that is there all the time because you're my child. That is just incredible. And as I've pondered on these things, it has just begun to blow me away again at the amazing grace of God. And the last thing I want to look about the word family is that when we become a child of God, we get an inheritance. You know, when my mum and dad pass on, pop their clogs, whatever you want to call it, me and Ian and Jonathan will share the family inheritance, whatever that is, and it will be presumably the same for you guys. But you know, that family inheritance will come and go. It perishes. It doesn't last for very long, does it? But you know what? I receive a family inheritance when I become a Christian. And that is amazing. The Bible says, for every spiritual blessing comes down to us through Jesus. Jesus, of course, has become our big brother, our older brother. And that is just another blow-your-mind thought. All the riches of his grace become ours. Riches like patience, kindness, glory, the glory of God, wisdom, power, mercy, and eternal life. We're going to live with God forever. How amazing is that? Free from death and pain and sickness. It's awesome. And our internal inheritance is priceless. It's pure, it's permanent, and it's protected. And it can't be destroyed by war, a poor economy, or a natural disaster. You are a member, if you are a child of God, of two families. So what of the A in the word family? Well, for me, I thought about being authentic. That when we come to share Jesus with our family, whether it's our natural family or our spiritual family, there is a real need to be authentic in how we live. 1 John 1, 6-7 says, if we live in the light, as God is in the light, we can share fellowship one with another. But if we say that we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. And the message actually says, we're lying through our back teeth, guys. You're not living what you're saying. I looked up the definition for the word authentic, and I was a bit surprised, actually. To be authentic means to be genuine. It means to be trustworthy. And it means to be reliable. And I would add, actually, it's about just being real, isn't it, guys? It is just being real with one another. When you're growing up, you can't really hide things from your parents. They know you too well, really, don't they? The kids try to pull the wool over our eyes, but you just see through the smoke screen and say, no, I know what's going on there, really. And God is no different. As we get older, we can be a little bit more clever and a bit more subtle about how we relate to one another. And sometimes we're not always real. We're not always genuine or trustworthy or reliable. But the Lord says that's where we need to be. We need to be living in the light. Being authentic in our relationships means that our conversation isn't superficial. It is genuine, heart to heart, sometimes gut level sharing. It happens, you know, when people get honest about who they are and where they're at and what's going on in their lives. This is how we begin to share Jesus with our family. It sometimes means sharing hurts, revealing feelings, confessing failures, disclosing doubts, admitting fear and weakness, and just saying to our family, here, I need help. Will you pray for me? So being authentic actually takes courage and humility, and it means facing our fear of exposure, rejection, and being hurt again. It means taking a risk. But you know what? You might say, well, is it worth it? Do I really want to go there? James 5:16 says, make this your common practice, something you do all the time. Confess your sins to each other. Oh, okay. I'm not quite so sure we all do that, but we need to pray for one another. Well, we can do that. Why would we do this? Because James says that you can live together whole and healed. I want to be whole and I want to be healed. And I want to let the family of God come and do that and take their place in that as we share together. You might be looking and saying, well, it's all right for you, Elaine. You've got a lovely Christian family. You've got an amazing husband. You've got two kids who are walking with the Lord. You've got it all sussed. It's easy for you. Well, for a lot of my life, I have known the favour of God. I've never really not known the love of the Father because of the way I was brought up. Chris and I have been married 25 years, but 8 years ago, my world almost fell apart. The man I'd married, who I would never have considered marrying a non-Christian because that was the way who I was. God was just so intricately involved in my life that the man I married had to be of the same thought processes and heart. So I married Chris and we were great together. We shared ministry together. We were in a Baptist church and we held all sorts of roles and responsibilities within that church. And then we came down to River. The Lord brought us here. This is our spiritual home. We feel very much this is where God brought us. But a few years into being here, Chris suddenly decided over a period of months that he wasn't going to be a Christian anymore. And he said, I'm not a Christian. He would say, actually, I'm a pagan. I hate church with a passion. I don't like Christians, even less. I don't believe in Jesus anymore, and I really only just about believe in God. I think I believe in God because I look at creation and think, yeah, there has to be somebody that created this. That just rocked my world. It rocked me to my absolute core. I didn't know what our marriage was based on anymore. I didn't know whether I should still be married to him. Did I love him? What was my love based on? Was it so much to do with Jesus that how do I handle this? What do I do? I was working in the church office at the time. I was managing the office. I worked with Jane Oxley and I was PA to Andy Reid. I had an important job. So how do I deal with this? Am I going to be authentic in how I handle it? And to start with, I wasn't. To start with, Chris wouldn't come to church and people would say, oh, hi, Elaine, where's Chris? Tired, you know, not feeling very well, wanted a morning off. Lies, 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 you know, nose growing. And I just found it really hard. Why? Because it was about sharing hurts. It was about revealing feelings. It was about confessing failure, something I hadn't come across. Doubts. What was going on? Neither of us knew what was going on. We couldn't put our finger on it. Chris wasn't in sin, particularly. No, nothing had changed. And what is happening here? I don't know. But I do know that Chris was more authentic than me at the time, at the beginning. And we've been part of the business Marlowe cell for loads and loads of years. And Chris wrote a letter to the business cell and said, hey guys, this is just a letter of resignation here. I just feel I need to leave the cell and I want you to know why. And it's because I don't believe what you believe anymore. And I therefore don't feel it's honourable that I come. And a big explanation, Chris. Well, we were both absolutely gobsmacked because these guys wrote back immediately and said, we don't want you to leave. We want to love you. We want to stand with you. And these guys, in effect, locked their faith shields around us as a group. And they shared Jesus with us. They stood with us. They helped us. They prayed with us. They encouraged us. When he had to walk out the meeting because he had chest pains, that didn't bother them. They weren't offended by what he was saying, his anger and the frustration that came out, the pain that was in me. They were great. But I want to honour Kerry and Jonathan this morning. And I want to honour Julian and Annie. Sorry. Because without those guys, I wouldn't have got through. There would be times Kerry said in her introduction, which is just lovely, we've been friends for a long time. And we've shared lots of meals together and we've had lots of laughs. But there was times, this went on for 5 years, and I would say, God, please don't let her let go. Please don't let her let go. Please don't let them say one day when we go for a meal, we're sorry, guys, we just can't take this anymore. I was desperate for them to hang on to me and to us and to see us through. And you know what? These guys came through. This is what it is to share Jesus with our family. They truly were our brothers and sisters. Wendy Turnbull in Marlow just used to hound Chris, and I want to honour her too, because she was just great. We have come through those dark years. They were very dark, and how I got through it personally is another story for another time. If you want to know, I'm really happy to talk to you about it, but it really is another story for another time. But I learned through being authentic and acknowledging my fears, insecurities, doubts, that when you're authentic, family can get alongside you. I chose trusted friends. I chose people who I'd walked with for a long time, and they came good. It's worth taking the risk. So that's F for family, A for authentic. I want to look at M, and that's for modelling. What do we model? My mum and dad were Christians, and my dad was a lay preacher. Doesn't do it very much now. He's retired, really. But he spent hours in the Word. He loved the Word. He loves the Father. And that's really all what he talks about. And you know what? I didn't really appreciate that when I was younger. I used to phone him up. They live on the Wirral. And my dad would say, hi, how are you? And I'd say, I'm just marvellous, Dad. Thanks, how are you? I'm great. Do you know what the Lord showed me this morning? I was just praying this morning and in the Word. And I think, oh, Dad, I just want to know how you are, you know. You're always telling me what he's doing with God. Always. This is what he communicates. I used to think, can you not talk about anything else? How awful is that? But you know what? He modelled something. He's modelled something since I was a little girl. And it's funny what you pick up, isn't it? My mum has such a gentle spirit. She's such a people person. And she showed me hospitality. She showed me what it was like to care for people. You know, we were poor as church mice when we were kids. And she was always robbing Peter to pay Paul. But our church was affiliated to a Bible school, and every Sunday we had a couple come to our church who would serve. And it was Mr. Taylor and Auntie Julie, and they came for years. And we would always, every Sunday, have Mr. Taylor or Auntie Julie for Sunday lunch. I don't know how my mum did it, but we did. But she showed me, just by being who she was, about hospitality and about love and caring and honouring the servant of the Lord. It's really funny what you pick up, isn't it? I am a lover of the Word. I'm also very pastoral. I think Carrie says those are my gifts. And we love having people around our house. It's funny what you model, isn't it, and what you pick up. I wanted to be authentic when I shared this morning, so I said to the boys, David and Matthew, how did we share Jesus with you in our family? They're grown up now, you know, David's married, and it's really funny that Matthew said, he said, Mum, I've learned to be a lover of people, and I love hospitality. Down the generations, I see it coming. Yeah, it's what I learned, what I've passed on, not by doing anything apart from being. It's funny what you pass on, isn't it? David's comment was, yeah, okay, Mum, what have I learned? You always spoke the truth, Mum. And you always anchored it in the Word. Even when it wasn't what I wanted to hear. Even when it wasn't the most popular thing to say, you always spoke the truth. What are we modelling? Well, I just want to have a look at quick, those are examples from my life, but quick, who do we really model? Well, Jesus is our big brother, so I think the best place to go and to do is to go and have a look at him. And I just picked two or three areas of Jesus' life under this title of modelling, see what we can pick up from this. First thing I thought was that Jesus actually taught. Jesus taught his disciples, didn't he? He spent a lot of time teaching them, taking them to one side, explaining the scriptures to them. One of the things the boys laugh at, you know, again, it's something that I passed on because I received it, is when I was growing up in Sunday school, I learnt to sing all the books of the Bible. So Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, Acts and the Romans. And I had a similar tune for the Old Testament. And I taught the boys this. Why? Not just because I was taught it, but I actually wanted them to be able to find their way around the Bible. I passed something on. I saw Jesus teaching. My mum used to say with her finger, and I have to pull my finger in sometimes because I copy that too, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is trustworthy, think on these things, girl. And I used to think, oh, will you shut up? If I've heard that verse once, I've heard it a million times. Will you please change the record? And when I talked to the boys about this, the boys said, oh, yeah, because we were talking together over dinner about this talk, and they both said, yeah, yeah, you taught us that verse, whatever is true. What is it? Noble, right? And I said, I have never taught you that, because one of the things I decided is I wasn't going to do that with my parents. I was going to learn from their mistakes. How I've done this, I do not know. But both of them are now saying, guess what? We are saying this to the people we're with. They're passing it on. I don't know. I honestly don't know how I've shared that, but I obviously did somewhere along the line. Kristen runs a Bible class. He just teaches from the Word. He takes a chapter a week and does it every other week over at Windsor Hall. If you don't think you can teach, come. Come and sit under him. He is modelling something that he's seen Jesus do. Come and learn and grow. And then you've got something you can pass on. Get into the Word. The second thing under modelling that I see from Jesus' life is that actually he always had time for people, didn't he? Time is one of the most precious gifts you can give to people. And it's how we share Jesus. It's time to have a cup of tea. It's time to say, how are you feeling? Andy Reid talked about this in his article in Complete Life, didn't he? Last month, I think it was, in the April thing, he was saying he'd been inspired by the words of a song. And he was saying about sitting down and taking time with one another over a glass of wine, maybe, or a cup of tea, and just sharing stories, taking time with people. Years ago, long before Chris's dark days, my good friend Kerry had what we thought was potentially a very serious health scare, didn't you, love? And we were all worried, and I thought, okay, Lord, what do I do? How do I get alongside her? And I just felt that I'd received something from my spiritual family, from Helen Davis and Mavis Rackstraw. I want to honour them for that. We used to do Nourish Bible studies, and they showed me what it was like to pick up a verse and to expound it by using the Strong's concordances, and how we would meditate on it. So I decided that that's what I was going to do for Kerry. And when you get a health scare, what happens is it all goes into your mind. You've got to be careful. You don't let the fear door in, open and let fear in. And you need to fill your mind with the Word of God. So I went down every night. We would go down and we would pray with Jonathan Kerry, and I would give her a verse. And that verse would take her through the night and take her through the next day. And I would seek the Lord and get another verse. Or we'd stay with one verse, wouldn't we? And we would pray. And that was giving time. And I'm not sharing that to be boastful. I'm just saying that you look for opportunities to actually share what you have received with somebody else. And that takes time. And Kerry's fine, and it was all right, and it wasn't what we thought it was going to be, and it was great, but it deepened our relationship and it deepened our friendship. And it was only when I was thinking this morning, I thought, actually, they did. I'd modelled something without thinking about it. It wasn't forced. It was just what came out of our hearts and our relationship. But she modelled something back to me that was even greater in those 5 years. And it's just great the way it all comes full circle. What you sow, you're going to reap. Jesus was God's best gift to us. And we need to give good gifts to our children, whether that's our spiritual children or our physical children. It's good to give good gifts. Matthew 7:11 says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask?" I've just been blown away this morning by what the kids have done, and last week. They are giving a gift to the church. They are sharing Jesus. That is a gift. They're bringing something of their heart, and it is just truly amazing. We went away over Easter, and we went to see the Loughs. Some of you will remember Robin and Fee. They were in our church for a number of years and we were friends with them. But they left about 4 years ago and we haven't really seen them since. And we just through a couple of experiences, we just ended up going for Easter. Their children really don't know us from Adam, but their little girl who is 8, Alwena, I've had permission to share this story, by the way. We were there on the Friday and we were just sharing the things that God's been doing in our lives. What's going on in River and how's it all going and where are you up to? And just in the context of sharing and love and family, we were talking about the way God is moving and how we're looking for the prophetic and all sorts of stuff like that. And Fee just most naturally just turned around to Alwena and said, "Alwena, why don't you just go upstairs or over this weekend, why don't you ask Father to open your faith eyes? And see if he'll give Elaine something before she goes home as a present." I was blown away by that. Because this little girl just didn't say, "No, I'm not going to do that. No, I can't do that." She just thought, "Oh yeah, okay." And she poodled off and I was just sitting there thinking, how lovely is that? What is she modelling to that little girl? It is just so natural that this little girl goes and looks to Father to give me something, who is a complete stranger. And the weekend went by and we had a great time. They live in the foothills of Snowdon and we climbed a little bit of Snowdon. And I was struck at the amazing closeness I felt of Jesus and the presence of God when I was up in that mountain. It was just quite remarkable. And the only person I told was Chris. And we were just saying how really precious it really was to be there. And Monday morning, just before we were due to leave, Alwena came back down into the kitchen where Fee and I were just, again, talking about God over a cup of coffee in the kitchen. And she brought a piece of paper, an A4. And on that piece of paper was a very large chair. It had a normal seat, but it had a very large back to this chair. And inside the frame of this chair was these words. And she said, "Father God has given me something for you." And she said, "The chair is the throne. It's the throne room of God." And the words were just about how God really appreciates my worship and how he loves it when I see him in creation. She didn't know my experience on the mountain. She doesn't know that for the last 4 years I have been saying to God, "I want deeper intimacy. I want to get into the throne room where you are." And she doesn't know I'm a worshipper. She doesn't know I love singing. She was just prepared to open her faith eyes and to see what God gave me. And it was just a very precious gift. Last week, Carol, Evely and Tina did some painting over here. And I'm going to ask Carol if she'll come forward because Carol's going to give a gift. This is how we share Jesus with our family, guys. Susan has been painting this morning and she wants to give a gift this morning. This is how we share Jesus. So if you guys would like to just come and share what you've got with us as family. Guys, just receive the gifts from the Father.
Right. Last week
while the worship was going on, I just asked God to just give me something that he wanted to share with the church. And the word he gave me was transformation. And so I just got up and started painting. And I started painting the heart. And then I kind of like went straight from the heart to the sky. And God was saying to me that this bit was his kingdom. And that the green and the yellow was earth. And then as this heart was being transformed from the inside where the gold was, and the transformation of hearts by being burnt up with the Holy Spirit is what's going to enable God's kingdom to come on earth. And I want to give that to Liz.
There isn't really a right or a wrong way with this one. Actually, first of all, before I just say what God gave me about that this morning, I wanted to get up there when all the kids were there, but I was not being very brave. It was a bit busy. But I just really want to encourage anybody to get up there any time if God gives you a picture. We've got some pastels as well as felt pens and watercolour pencils, so there's lots of things there for everyone to use. There's a couple of things I want to say about this. Well, first of all, in the middle, that's all supposed to be pure white, but you know, I made a bit of a mess apart from the red. So that's heaven, and then the Holy Spirit coming out and into the world, and then round the edge is black, and that's kind of the sin that sits on people on the earth. But the blood of Jesus comes right out from heaven across into everything and actually covers over the sin in my scribbles. And so we just need to know that heaven isn't far away from us, that Jesus draws us in and covers that sin. But actually, when I finished, this is with oil pastels, and I was trying to blend them in a bit. When I came out, my hands were completely black, my fingers, where I'd been rubbing them. And I thought that was interesting, that why didn't they have red on them? Because red was the last colour I put on. And I started picking off the black and working down through all of the colours. And right at the bottom there's the white. And God just spoke to me and said, you know, that sin can come off. It's actually the blood that you can't see is there on that black and enables you to get rid of it and to go down and reach the purity at the bottom. And I just think, you know, that's God is saying to us this morning, don't worry about that sin. Jesus is there to help get rid of it. It is redeemed. I've redeemed you. And this isn't for anybody. Anyone can have it.
Thank you. I've got a gift too, that when you leave this meeting this morning, Robin at the back and his trusty helpers have some cards. They're biblical truth cards that I've got from work. I work for an organisation called Freedom in Christ Ministries. We run Freedom in Christ in this church. We run courses. Chris and I have just started a course with the lovely Jowetts and some other people, and that is just great to be doing that. But one of the things, Freedom in Christ is a discipleship course, and it actually was pivotal in bringing Chris back to a full relationship with Jesus Christ, and it has completely changed our lives. That is another story for another time as well, but please do feel free to come and talk to me if you want to know more. And I just want to give away something that I've received, again, giving it away. So please feel free to take a biblical truth postcard. It is yours, it is free, and it gives you truths from the scripture about who Father God is. Sometimes we believe lies because of who our natural fathers were, but our Heavenly Father is true, is trustworthy, he is reliable, he is dependable, and he loves you with a passion that we can't even begin to get our heads around. And just in case you think your roasts are going to burn, because Elaine still has I, L and Y to work through, do relax. ILY stands for I love you. And I do love you. Father has, I might not know you, but there is something within us when we are Christians that the Spirit of God draws us together. And I just want to say, I love you. For God so loved the world, God started it all off, to come right back to the beginning of my talk. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that through his son we might enjoy relationship with him. God modelled something. Jesus picked it up and Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he sets the challenge, so abide in my love. Greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends. There is something that we need to pick up here, church. In that conversation I had with the boys about how we'd done it as family, I was gobsmacked. Because Matthew's first reaction was, Mum, you loved me unconditionally. And I thought, whoa. I didn't know it. You see, I can look back and I can think there's lots of times when I have failed and I've got it wrong. But over all of that, love covers. And that was what Matthew had experienced. And I was just blown away by that. And I was truly humbled by what he said. Are you feeling the love of the Father this morning? If you are, how are you expressing it to this family that you are part of? I just want to read from John's Gospel out of the Message, John chapter 15. This is Jesus talking to his disciples the night before he went to the cross. And he's been telling them some things about what was going to happen to him. And he says to them, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. Because that's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy might be wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things that I command you. You know, I'm not calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master requires or is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you. And I put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. So to conclude, last week Al brought a word that Scott reminded us about as he started worship, that this is for us as family, that Father wants to woo us, to draw us into a love relationship with himself. You can respond to that call today. Allow him to woo you into his family, to be his child. You just need to receive Jesus into your life and to ask him to forgive you and to take control of the reins. You might feel that you've walked away from the Lord. He's just there ready and wants to receive you back. Are you being authentic in your relationships with one another? Let's be a people who are genuine, trustworthy, reliable and real. What are you modelling to the people that God has put around you? Can you say to your brothers and sisters in Christ, look at my life and copy? Because that's what Jesus is asking us to do. And when was the last time you said, I love you to somebody? Give them a hug. Love comes in a very easy package sometimes. It can be a hug. It can be just a smile, a pat on the back. But that can communicate so much of the Father's heart. We can't share something we don't have. We have to be in that place of intimacy with Jesus to be able to share it with our family. Sharing with my family isn't just speaking to them and telling them something. It's about releasing the life of Jesus to them out of what I've already allowed him to put there in the first place.
Amen. Thank you, Elaine. Can we show our appreciation for Elaine?